Exodus chapter 20. We are in a series on the Ten Commandments. They are spelled out and given in Exodus chapter 20. And I would like to read them as they are related in order. The first one, of course, is "You shall have no other gods before me." The second one is "You shall not make for yourselves carved image." Third one is "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." The fourth one is "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The fifth one is "Honor your father and your mother." The sixth one is "You shall not murder." The seventh one is "You shall not commit adultery." The eighth one is "You shall not steal." The ninth one is "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." And the tenth one is "You shall not covet." These Ten Commandments are very important, as many of us have come to know, because they are God's guidelines, God's commandments for all mankind. We'll talk about this in just a moment. Actually, most of us understand that they form the foundation for the legal system in the United States. Our laws and requirements to our government are based upon, actually, the Ten Commandments. And they lie at the very heart and core of Western civilization. Most Christians probably would admit that the Ten Commandments are important. However, I read recent surveys where Christians were asked, "Well, how many of the Ten Commandments do you know?" And the majority knew 2 out of 10. Well, that's better than none, that's for sure. But the Lord wants us to understand what the commandments are. In fact, we are given the responsibility in the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 6, to teach them to our children. When we look at almost all the social trends today in our Western world, social trends, we see that our country is in moral decline. The things one generation ago which were not accepted in society are now accepted, and our government has put its stamp of approval upon to the dishonor of God. And we'll talk about this as we go through these from time to time. We're confronted in our society with a great rise in crime. We're confronted with much personal debt. We're confronted with drug abuse and addiction and family breakdown. And we're reaping the results of the fact that God says, if you'll keep these commandments, you will be blessed. But if you break these commandments, you will experience great sorrow and trial. And I believe in our society today, we need the Ten Commandments to be seen and understood. They have been given to all mankind. They were made for human nature, and they are therefore for all seasons, all centuries, and all cultures. And I thought it was interesting, we looked at this together. When God gave the Ten Commandments, He wrote them upon tablets of stone and gave them to Moses, who in turn took them down to His people. I want to read that verse again. It's Exodus 31:18, where it says, "And when He, God, made an end of speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai," Exodus 31:18, "He gave Moses the two tablets of stone written with the finger of God." You see, the point is that God Himself has given these to mankind. And mankind is blessed when people in society, men or women, children, teens, when they obey the commandments of the Lord. And you and I know that we're living in a day when people don't want to hear the commandments of the Lord. There's something about our human nature that says, and I know you've heard this before, I don't want to be told what to do. You know, I thought of that, and I thought of the fact that, Lord, I want You to tell me what to do. Because when You tell me what to do, it's going to bring blessing. But if I rebel against You and I want to do things that are contrary to You, it's only going to bring heartache and pain. Lord, I want to do the things that you want me to do, and in the power and the strength that you give. I'm going to mention these just quickly. Important truths. We've repeated these. Ten Commandments show us our need for the Lord. No one can be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. In fact, they can't be kept without the power of the Lord. The first one is, you shall have no other gods before me. And when we looked at that commandment, we saw it's very easy for us to make something into another god. We can actually worship other things. And there's all kinds of things that we can fall into the trap of making more important than God. We know there's nothing more important than God. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law of God, the Ten Commandments, we look at them, we say, Lord, I can't do these. Except with your help and your strength, I can do these. In fact, I need Jesus Christ to be my Savior from sin, to pay for my brokenness before you. Nine of the Ten Commandments are listed in the New Testament, which verify the fact that we are still responsible for them. And again, Deuteronomy 6:3, the Lord says to the people of Israel, if you keep my commandments, things will go well with you. And that's what we all want. We want things to go well. Now, we're on the third commandment this morning, and it's recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, where it says, and remember now, this is what the Lord says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, the name of God, of course, or God's name, represents all that he is, his character, his conduct, his power, his wisdom, his glory. And who God is actually forms the foundation of the first three commandments. The first one says, have no other gods before me. The second one says, make no idols in place of me. And the third one says, do not take my name in vain. Now, we're going to talk for just a few minutes about how we honor and revere the name of the Lord in the positive sense. But we're also going to talk about what does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain. Now, when you read that, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, you realize that this statement goes far beyond a person using what we would call a swear word. It carries with it the idea of making sure that we honor the name of the Lord. There were a number of songs which we sang this morning which talked about the fact that the name of the Lord is worthy to be praised and worthy to be sung about. And it's interesting, if you stop to think about it with me, the way you use a person's name says a great deal about what you think about that person. You've heard people talk about, well, let's move over into this area a little bit. The president. They can either say it this way, President Trump or President Trump. Now, how it's said shows an attitude, doesn't it? I mentioned this right now. He needs our prayer support. All our leaders in Washington need our prayer support. How you use a person's name is very important. It's interesting, in our society, we have moved away from respect for the name of God. And you might be saying, well, why do you say that? I'm saying it for a number of reasons, which we'll talk about. But the first one is found in the fact that in the concise Oxford English Dictionary. Now, notice I said in the concise one edition. Oxford English Dictionary. Not Webster. Okay? Webster was a believer. In the Oxford English Dictionary, you have two definitions that are given under the name Jesus. The first one is this. Jesus, answer. It is an expletive. It's an expression of surprise or impatience. In other words, it's saying, when you think of Jesus, you think of him, oh, Jesus. That's number one. It's pretty sad, I think. And of course, they're not interested in my opinion. But it's very sad. If I were on the board proofreading that dictionary, I'd say, yeah, you can put that at the bottom of the list of who Jesus is. But not at the top of the list. The second definition with regards to Jesus of Nazareth, it's the name of the founder of the Christian religion who died about AD 30. The text says you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what does it mean in vain? The Hebrew word actually is shah, which refers to meaninglessness, carelessness, emptiness. It's a very interesting word. It actually comes from a word that is translated into what we know in English as a storm, a non-productive weather pattern. Let me go back over it again. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Meaninglessness, carelessness, emptiness. And the point is, when someone uses the name of the Lord in profanity, they are treating the name of the Lord in an empty and in a careless way. In fact, I just read this week about someone who says, you know, when that is done, when the name of the Lord is used in profanity, it shows an emptiness of the heart of the person, because out of the heart, man speaks. The mouth speaks out of the heart. So his point is simply this: people really need to be careful if they are the least bit concerned about the honoring the name of the Lord. And the interesting thing is, the last part of verse 7 says, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I know my parents, probably your parents, taught you don't ever take the name of the Lord your God in vain. My parents taught me the Ten Commandments. And I believe parents do have that responsibility, Deuteronomy chapter 6, to teach their children the Ten Commandments from God. They bring blessing. So never use the Lord's name in profanity. And then also, never use the Lord's name in frivolity. I am going to turn with you to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like for you to look at this verse with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Look what it's telling. I looked at it again and I'm saying, this is good for me to read. Be very careful. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Look at them with me, please. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4. But fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints or for believers. It's amazing how the Lord puts these cautions in His Word. He says, look, people who don't know Christ, they do these things, but you belong to the Lord. And so protect your life. Fornication's out for the believer. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be named among you. There's forgiveness. Obviously, there's forgiveness. But he says, keep it out of your life. And then you'll notice verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. I think you see there's a caution. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Do not use God's name in frivolity. I'm going to be real honest with you. There are times when you'll hear jokes about God. And I'll tell you. Now you say, well, this is you, Pastor. But I don't think most 99 and 44ths, that's Ivory Soap. 99 and 44% of them, they're not funny. When they're talking about our God, they're just not funny. The Word of God tells us to be very, very careful. We need to be careful of using God's name in frivolity or carelessly. Some people actually get in the pattern of saying, now, if you say, you know, maybe I do this, this is a good time to say, Lord, help me to work on my speech. Our speech should be seasoned with salt and grace, it says in the book of Ephesians. When we speak about others or to others, we should be building them up. Listen, none of us want people talking behind our backs and talking us down. We as well ought to be those who, if there's something bad about somebody, what we could do is say, Lord, I pray for them. I lift them up before your throne of grace. It's not going to come out of my mouth about the evil of this person. Now, don't get me wrong. There are sometimes people who need counsel with regards to things that they might be dealing with in sin. But we need to be very, very careful of how we speak about God and others. Some people fall into a pattern of saying things like, oh my God, or good God, or gosh, which refers to God, or darn, which refers to damn, gee, which refers to Jesus. You say, wow, Pastor, you're really getting deep in here. It is getting deep in here. I'm trying to tell you the meaning of thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And a generation of people a while back, the preceding generation, used to say that saying gosh and gee and darn were secondhand cussings. To getting deep in here, let's open the windows in the house. I think I'm being very careful by saying the Lord wants us to be careful with our speech. And he certainly doesn't want us taking his name in vain. I remember years ago I worked for a mechanic, and he'd send me around to pick up supplies and parts and other garages. And I went to this one place, and this guy was down in a pit, and he's working on a car. And he is swearing and cursing and taking the name of the Lord in vain. And I'm just this young guy, you know, not that many years ago. Stay with me. And I said, hey, my friend, that's the one who went to the cross and died for you and me. Wow, the Lord gave me those words. They didn't come just from me. He got quiet. And I never heard one more swear word out of him until I was out of the shop. Then he could turn it back on if he wanted to. It's profanity is not good. In fact, the Lord warns us against it. And we do need to be careful. And I need to be careful, not just you. I need to be careful of saying things which could be, I've heard it called minced oaths and things, mixing things up and not really giving reverence to the name of the Lord. And we're going to end on a positive note. We talked about how not to take the name of the Lord in vain, how people do take it in vain. Now we want to talk about taking the name of the Lord in victory. And your key verse for this, by the way, is Colossians 3:17. Oh, I love this verse. Colossians 3:17, if you want to look at it, it's not far there from Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 3:17. And whatever you do in word or do or deed, rather, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. Do everything in the name of Jesus. The idea is to do things in order to honor and please him. Do the things that you do with his authority, with his approval upon your life. That's very important. Now, speaking of the name of God, taking the name of the Lord of God in victory, we do that when we use the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is actually the very last name of God given in Scripture. There are over 500 names of God in the Word of God. But Jesus is the last name that's given. And the Apostle Paul says it's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Philippians chapter 2. The name Jesus, do you know what it means? Jehovah saves. Jesus saves us from our sin. And how thankful we are that we've been, as we sang this morning, set free. We're no longer in bondage to sin. You as a Christian, we can say no to sin and yes to God. And Lord, give me that substitute in the place of what I'm being tempted to do that's wrong before you. Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. And having the name of Jesus Christ and honoring it is our highest calling. I'm going to end by talking about how Adrian Rogers, one of the past generation communicators of God's word, what he taught his children in relationship to honoring the name of Christ. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, Have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, the point is this. When people see you honoring the name of the Lord, they in turn are going to be touched by God to do the same, at least to give honor to Him. When others see that you belong to the Lord and you know Him as your Savior, it's amazing what God will do to use your testimony in the lives of other people. That's very clear in the Word of God. Now, very quickly, I want you to remember three P's about the name of the Lord. These are very important. Three P's. The first one is this. There's power in the name of the Lord. You would be surprised. You could be sitting talking with someone. Let's say you are sitting at a table where nobody but you knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? You're the only Christian at the table. And all of a sudden some things come up and you mention the Lord Jesus. Wow. Some eyes are going to turn your way. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. You say, how do you know? Well, you know it by John 14:14, because Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That means anything that we ask for in the will of God. Now let me repeat that. There's power in the name of the Lord. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But I look back to the Old Testament, and I see the example of David, who went after the giant Goliath, the Philistine giant, who was a pretty tall guy. He was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. And David said to Goliath, when Goliath was threatening with his words, David said to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:45, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Goliath had the sword and the spear and the javelin. David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And there's power in that name. And of course, it was God who enabled David to take the sling and the stone and to throw it and to surprise the giant, like, big time. He never had anything hit him like that before, that's for sure. So there's power in the name of the Lord. Secondly, there's protection in the name of the Lord. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. You know, doesn't matter where you're at. You're a child of God. Your faith is entrusted in Jesus Christ. And there's real need in your life. And you say, Lord, I need protection. You call out to the Lord, because there's power and protection in the name of the Lord. And it's going to be amazed to you how the Lord comes through on your behalf. Thirdly, the third P, there's provision in the name of the Lord. John 16:23-24, Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and it will be given to you, that your joy might be full. How awesome. Lord, here's the need of my life. I need a job. I need reconciliation with someone. I need some provision. I need health. I need strength. You take it to the Lord and then watch what He will do. These are the three things that Adrian Rogers said that he taught his children about the name of the Lord. I thought they were very interesting. Number one, he taught his children to wear the name of the Lord. That is, he reminded them that they were Christians. Acts 11:26 says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And our children, they need to know who they are. In fact, he said when he would send them off to school, don't forget who you are and whose you are. Who you are, you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Whose are you? Who do you belong to? You belong to the Lord. You've been bought with a price, the shed blood of Christ. He taught them also to share the name of Christ. And I'd like for us to do that this week, maybe even today. Use the name of Jesus with someone today. And allow the Holy Spirit, again, to use the name of Christ to touch the heart of someone who really needs the Lord. Malachi 3:16 says that God has a book of remembrance of the things that we do for Him. In other words, God never forgets what we do for Him. Share the name of the Lord. Lastly, we are to bear the name of the Lord. In other words, there are times when we really do need to speak up for the Lord, like the apostles in Acts chapter 5. The apostles were preaching and teaching in the name of the Lord, and they were taken by the council, the Jewish council, and they were beaten, and they were released. But before they were released, they said to them, look, we don't want you teaching or preaching again in this community in the name of the Lord. And then it says in Acts 5:42, the apostles were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord. So what does the commandment, the third commandment, say? Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But the opposite of this, the positive side of this, is make sure you use the name of the Lord to uplift your Lord, so that others may see how glorious and awesome your God is. And when you uplift the Lord, it is amazing how God may use you to speak to others who do not really know Him. The psalmist said in the Old Testament, Psalm 34, verse 3, let us exalt His name together. Let's do it this week. Let's do it today. Let's close in prayer.